We open our Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Our text is the last half of verse 9 through 15. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His Word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, as a new pastor in a new congregation, I began a series of sermons on the Christian minister and his work. Really, it was begun by Professor Dykstra when I was installed. He preached on the Christian minister as an example. And as I've had opportunity in the last 2 months, I went on to look at the Christian minister as a steward of the mysteries of faith, the minister as the herald of the gospel, the Christian minister, in verse 9 of our chapter, as a farmer or husbandman, and this evening, the Christian minister as a builder. So there's two metaphors in verse 9 where the apostle is looking at the work of the Christian minister in the church. Agriculture, and then he goes to construction. There was problems in that church of Corinth. And the Apostle Paul writes lovingly to them. He writes to correct them. There was partying, there was strife, there was contention. One claiming to be of Paul, one claiming to be of Apollos, another claiming to be of Cephas, and even to make it better, one claiming to be of Christ. There was strife and contention, division. And so in the metaphor here, as the Apostle Paul is dealing with that sin in the church, rather than hearing the Word of God and hearing God Himself, they were followers of men. He uses two illustrations here in verse 9. First, that of the farmer or the husbandman, where the church is called a field. A field that is planted and a field that is cultivated or watered. And there the idea that the Apostle Paul brings out in that metaphor is the oneness of the labors. It doesn't make any difference who is the one who plants and who is the one who is watering. The church needs both of them. It's one labor. For the Apostle Paul says, we are laborers together of God. It's God's field. God is the one who has planted churches, or it's Christ Jesus who builds or plants His church. But He uses instruments, ministers, not in contention with each other, one trying to be better than the other one, and the church shouldn't see it that way, but different men with different abilities called to different tasks in the church, laboring together for the field that it may produce. Much like the fields here that we see in Michigan. What a year, a bumper year it has been. The corn in abundance, fourth cutting of hay coming off, soybeans very verdant. That's a picture of the church. God uses instruments to cause the church to produce a lot of fruit. The laborers working together as one. But now, the metaphor changes that to that of the construction worker. From oneness of labor, now the Apostle Paul, in this next metaphor, is going to be looking at the carefulness, the fidelity, and the diligence of the labor of the workman. The carefulness, the fidelity, and the diligence in labor. We have a passage much like this when Paul writes to young Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, the apostle comes to Timothy and he says, study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, but in a great house. There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So in the Corinthian church, there was not only that party strife, a group saying they were of Paul, some of Apollos, some of Cephas, some of Christ, but there were also, besides these true ministers of God that God gave them, those who were fomenting trouble. Those who were building not upon the foundation of Christ, but with the wisdom of men. They were telling the people to turn away from the Apostle Paul and what he taught, and they would teach them new things. So from the oneness of the labor, with the planting of the field, the watering of the field, now with the construction work, the Apostle looks at the carefulness, the fidelity, and the diligence of the labor of the laborer. As a church without a pastor, you have been extending calls this past year. You are praying to the Lord to give a workman here for the building of His church. This is what you may expect. This is what you pray for, a laborer in the church. The Christian minister as a builder. Many of you can relate to this metaphor, being in the construction trades. The Christian minister as a builder. Notice the church as a building, the workmen and their labors, and thirdly then, the construction tested by fire. We read in verse 9b, "Ye are God's building." Now, the Apostle Paul there is not just talking about any kind of building. Some of you build houses, some of you build office buildings, maybe barns, whatever. He's not talking about just any kind of building, but he is talking about the most holy and valuable of buildings. He's talking about a temple building. Very often, the church is called that kind of a building, a temple. I bring your attention to Ephesians chapter 2. There in verse 20 and following, we're described as the household of faith, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitly joined together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So the church is described here as a building, not just any building, but as a temple. How can we know that? Well, because that is implicit in the very building materials that are mentioned in our text. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Those precious stones, boys and girls, aren't gems that you have in your rings, but it's talking about marble and granite. Those are building materials that one would build a magnificent building that the common person would never live in. The common person lived in an earthen building with maybe some wood, but otherwise, earth and maybe a thatched roof, straw roof. These kind of building materials that are going to be described are those of a magnificent temple to a God. It is also very explicit that the church as a building is the temple in verses 16 and 17. When the Apostle Paul has finished this metaphor as the church as a building, he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And what is important about this metaphor? The church as a building, as the temple of God. That means, as we read from Ephesians chapter 2, it is a holy temple of the Lord in whom ye are builded together for a habitation of God by His Spirit. Organically, together as a church, corporately, we are the residence of God. Think of that a moment. Isn't that a profound thought? We need to hear that, especially as there are those increasingly today who are disparaging belonging to the Church of God. There was a group in the Philippines who believed that they didn't really have to go to church so much. Rather, they would stay at home and they would study the scriptures for themselves. They didn't want to take the doctrines that the church in the past has brought up, but rather they would study in their households the scriptures for themselves. That's trying to invent a wheel when the wheel has already been made. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has provided, led the church in the truth. It's important to belong to the church where the truth is developed. On the radio, there is a man who was once Reformed urging those listening into his radio no longer to go to the church but remain at home, for he finds the church unfaithful. Is it important to be a member of a local body of the Christian church? And the answer is yes. For the church corporately, we read here in Scripture, is the temple of God which God is pleased to dwell in. When we come together from Sunday to Sunday, we're not just so many individuals that come together, but we are a body knit together. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Is it important that you belong to the church? Is it important to what church you belong? And the answer is an emphatic yes. It is the church as a temple where God is pleased to dwell in the midst of His people. Christ dwells here. Christ works here. You see that work of Christ in the office bearers as they supervise your faith and your walk. That's Christ Jesus, our King, ruling us. There you have Jesus Christ dwelling as that sympathetic high priest in the work of the deacons, caring for all of our needs. And when the Lord gives you an under-shepherd, but even by those that fill your pulpit, Christ as your prophet, teaching and instructing you. God in Christ is pleased to dwell in His temple, the church. And the foundation of that building, we read, is Christ Jesus. Verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than what is laid, which is in Jesus Christ." That foundation, it's argued by different expositors, is it Christ personally or is it the truth of Christ? For the Apostle Paul says, "I lay down a foundation." Well, it's not one or the other, it is both. It is the Apostle Paul who lays down the foundation, that is the truth of Christ. He went around into the Greek and the Roman world and he brought the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of men. He is the God-given Savior. By His death and by His resurrection, He gives new life. That is the foundation of the church, the truth of Christ Jesus, the one whom God has given, the one whom God slay in our place, the one God raised up again as our Savior and our Lord. But in those truths, Christ is presented. Christ is, as we read, the cornerstone of that foundation. And it is on that foundation, Jesus Christ, God's Son, given for our salvation, that we have the confidence for our justification. Hearing those truths, we know that though we are sinners, God made us right again with Himself through the precious blood of Jesus that flowed on the cross. Jesus Christ, the foundation of the church. There's the sanctification of the church. Christ dwells in her, He who is holy. He sends His Holy Spirit to make us holy. Yes, there is the confidence for our salvation. The precious, precious foundation, Jesus Christ. And now the Apostle Paul, over against the arguments that are used against us. Who is Paul? He's not around us. He's not going to come back by us again. Who cares about what he thinks? The Apostle Paul comes and he says, I am, by the grace of God, the wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth upon it. The master builder. A skillful architect. How the Apostle Paul went around planting, of course now that's using the other the metaphor again, isn't it, the field. But he went about laying down foundations for the church in various places. He preached the foundational concepts, doctrines of Christ Jesus and salvation only in Christ Jesus. Skillful. He lays down as an architect those foundations that the church must be built upon. The Apostle Paul, as an eyewitness of Christ, eyewitness perhaps in his life, maybe he met Christ Jesus, we don't know about that at all, but an eyewitness of Jesus Christ after Christ's resurrection and ascension into heaven, Christ came to Paul on the Damascus Road. And for a period of almost 3 years later on, Christ instructed the Apostle Paul so that the Apostle Paul says, I was taken up into the third heaven. Paul, as an eyewitness of Christ, lays down the foundation of the church. And that's why we say in the Nicene Creed, don't we, boys and girls, I believe in a holy and apostolic church. What does it mean? An apostolic church. A church that is built upon the foundation that the apostles laid down. Those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. I believe in that church that is built upon that foundation that is Christ Jesus. And now workmen working on the church, on that building, must be careful. We read, they must take heed, verse 10. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. What is the calling here? The church is a building and ministers are given to the church to carefully exegete, build upon, and apply the truths in that foundation, the truths of Jesus Christ. Carefully. So you see here, this metaphor is talking about the work of the workmen. In the field, the workmen are one. Yes, there's different work, planting, watering, but they're one. Here the workmen are still one, but it's looking at their labors. May they take heed how they labor. The question many times with the church is, must we be so exact? Do we have to cross every T and dot every I? Do we have to think theologically all alike? In the Philippines, there were young men who were coming out of an Pentecostal church background, and they wanted to learn more about the Reformed faith, and they went to a school that was supposedly Reformed. The instructors in that school told them, yes, I personally, notice this word, I personally believe in the 5 points of Calvinism. But I don't want to bring that into my preaching. I don't want to bind the preaching, or I don't want to bind the scriptures for those who listen. And so those very same instructors told their young students, don't bring the doctrine of election. Don't bring the doctrine of limited atonement. Don't bring the doctrine of irresistible grace into the preaching of the gospel, lest you bind the scriptures and turn some away. You'd be sure those young men were frustrated. They later on were instructed by us and were in contact still as churches with those young men. Hold to the 5 points of Calvinism and yet not bring it into the preaching? Not lay out, build on that precious foundation that has been established for the church? How can that be? Workmen, the calling comes, take heed how you build upon that foundation. Let's go look at those workmen and their labors. And we notice, first of all, that they labor by the grace of God. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. One might wonder here, as the Apostle Paul is wrestling with these various laborers, is he giving an undue emphasis upon the labors of man? Why is he busy talking about what he did? Is he bragging there, I'm the master builder? Are we giving an undue emphasis upon men over against Christ? And the answer is no. Absolutely no. The opposite. What does the Apostle Paul write? Verses 5 through 7. Who was Paul? Who was Apollos? Even as the Lord gave to every man. Again, verse 9. For we are laborers together, and it should read there, of God. We are fellow laborers of God. What is Paul? What is Apollos? We are but servants or ministers of God. The emphasis is all upon God. Now the apostle says, according to the grace of God which is given to me. No one can be a builder, no one can work at the work of building in the church except by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Whether it be ministers of the gospel, whether it be elders, whether it be deacons, whether it be Sunday school teachers, whether it be catechism teachers, whatever role, no one can be a builder in the church of Jesus Christ apart from the grace of God. How does the psalm put it? How can the house be built? The laborers labor in vain unless the Lord builds the house. So it's by grace and only by grace that there are workmen. What the apostle here is doing is gone from the oneness of the labor, we're fellow laborers together, to the kind of labor. Let every man, verse 10, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. How he builds upon the foundation. The foundation is so precious. Be careful what you do with that foundation. Be careful what you try to build upon that foundation. For what is raised up on that foundation should be as precious as the foundation itself. Take heed. May there be great carefulness. The emphasis is on the manner, the how of the labor of the minister. In their labor, they have to be careful that they build only upon the foundation that is Christ Jesus. They have to labor in harmony with the precious character of that foundation. How does he approach the scriptures? How does he approach his labor in the congregation? As a drudgery? As sometimes perhaps as builders, you get up on Monday morning and you say, oh, I have to go back to work. Although I might say with a bad economy, probably any builder on Monday who has built work to go says, hallelujah, Lord, thank you that I have work to do. But what is the minister's mental attitude as he goes about his labors in the study to exegete the scriptures, is it that of the schoolboy or girl? Oh, I have to do this work. I have to crank it out because I'm accountable. God forbid. May the minister of God, a builder of that precious building of God, looking at the foundation that he's building upon, Christ, be diligent. May he be careful in his labors. Take heed. He must not be lazy. He must not be half-hearted. But he must expound those riches of the truth in Christ Jesus. Careful in his exegesis. Careful in his labors amongst the church to know the sheep, to care for them, and to apply the Word of God to them. Diligent. As in all kinds of laborers, there's different kind of laborers, those who are diligent and those who are sloppy. You builders know that. There are very well-built, good-built houses. And then there are the kind of cheap houses that are thrown up and they look good for 5 years and then let the homeowner beware. There's that difference. So also in the ministry of the gospel, sad to say. When I was a chaplain in the army, there were two reasons that men were there. Either because they cared about what they had and wanted to present it to men and women, or because it was an easy way of life, or could be an easy way of life. Not much supervision, you could do what you wanted. It was a life of a lazy person if one was so inclined. And sad to say, that can also be true of the Christian minister in the church. He can try to coast on easy road. He could say, well, I've served one or two or three churches already, and now I go to a new church and I unpack the barrel and roll out the old barrel again and we'll go one more time. Beware. Be careful. Take heed how one builds upon the foundation that has been laid, Christ Jesus. Careful, diligent, not slothful. Notice the building materials. They can be divided between durable goods and consumable goods. There is, on the one hand, gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are valuable. Those are precious. They are durable. And then are listed wood, hay, and stubble. Less valuable or even worthless and perishable. You boys and girls probably real early heard the story of the three little pigs. They wanted to go out and make their fortune. Two of them were rather lazy. They wanted a quick throw up a house and move on and have fun. The one built his house of straw and the other built his house of sticks. And the third little pig built his house of bricks. Ministers laboring as construction workers, take heed the materials that you use in building. Precious, durable, or consumable? Gold, silver, precious stones, or hay, stubble, and sticks, wood? What are those materials? There are those that try to divide those two sets of materials into the kind of members of the church. So that the hay and the stubble and the stick and the wood would resemble the nominal Christians. That's not the case. For what minister who would build his church of nominal believers, and there are many of those today, which of those, when tested by fire, as we read in the last couple of verses of our pericope, which of them are able to stand? Woe to the minister that would build a church of nominal Christians. Not truly believing, but joining the church for its fun and for its games, or for a name and a place. So the materials here do not refer to the members themselves. Members of the church are called in 1 Peter chapter 2, lively stones, not nominal Christians. Stones that have life, life given from God. There are others that would divide these material building materials between true doctrine and false doctrine. So that the gold and the silver and the precious stones are the true doctrines given by God, revealed in His Word, handed down from the apostles. And that the hay and the wood and the stubble would be false doctrine. That is not a correct division either of these materials. For those who build the church on false doctrine are not building the church, but rather they are seeking to destroy the church. And the apostle talks about those who will try to destroy the church in verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, seeks to destroy the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So this hay and this stubble is not false doctrine. That's breaking down the church. Rather, these precious metals and stone and these other building materials refer to the quality of the labor of the workman. Is he working with fidelity? Is he working with diligence? Or is he working like those two little pigs? Let me get my work done with a lick and a promise. Who cares? The people still like me anyhow, and I'm going to have fun. It refers to the preaching. It refers to sermons being made and given. It refers to catechism lessons given to the children. It refers to door-to-door instruction, whether family visitation, whether visiting the sick or the shut-ins, or discipline. May our work be that which is durable and precious, rather than that which is less valuable or even worthless. These are builders in the church. Rather than preaching from the wisdom of God, perhaps they substitute human wisdom. Or they rely upon oratory to make their work. Their sermon might be a little bit weak, so they just yell a little louder. Or perhaps they have a nice talk about Christ Jesus and His work. In other words, the things they say are true, but they hang those words on whatever text is in front of them. The story is told of the minister. Always the same message, Christ and salvation in Christ Jesus, just picking different texts to hang upon it. That's not diligent labor. Diligent labor, that is, which is gold and silver and precious stone, is that which takes a particular text of God's Word, opens it up, exegetes it, and now applies it to the real needs of God's children. Gold, silver, precious stones. The story was told of a minister where I used to live in Kalamazoo, one of the ministers there. When he came to the church, he came to a council and he says, "Well, you want me to preach on the Heidelberg Catechism? I will. I've got one set of sermons on the Heidelberg Catechism, and when I'm done, I flip them over and I start over again. I really hope that that story was a false story about the pastor, because it reveals laziness on his part. I hope it was a false story, because if it was true, shame on the elders who were supervising the preaching of the Word, that they allowed that to go on in that church. The calling is not for slothful labor, but diligent labor. Whether it be going through the catechism time and time again from different perspectives, revealing deeper riches of the Word of God, or taking different passages and exegeting them and bringing it to bear on the needs of God's children. Be careful that you build with precious things, durable things, and not with hay or sticks or wood or chaff. Diligent labor. All ministers need to hear that warning. Paul was bringing it to those who were laboring or claiming to be leaders in Corinth. Martin Luther was a man who could be known of building upon the foundation of Christ with gold and with silver and precious stones in that precious truth of justification by faith alone. Huh? That's gold. That's silver. But when we look at the works of Martin Luther, we also find some hay, don't we? Some stubble. That is, he stumbled over the view of Christ being present in the Lord's Supper physically, for Jesus said, "This is my body." And he taught that Christ in his human nature is omnipresent. That was hay, that is stubble. May the builder be careful. May the church, looking for a pastor, praying for that pastor when he comes, caring for that pastor, make sure that he builds upon the foundation, a building that is worthy of the preciousness of that foundation. Gold, silver, and precious stones. There's going to be a testing of the construction, tested by fire. Verse 13, "If every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." That verse has been taken out of context, used by the Church of Rome to support its theory, its false doctrine of purgatory. See, all of our works are going to be tested by fire. The fires of hell burning in purgatory, burning away all the impurities. Verse 13 is not talking about the fires of hell. It's not talking about purgatory. But it is talking about fire. The workman and his labor is going to appear in judgment. They're going to stand before him whose building it is, namely God. Even as every one of us will stand in the judgment day before God, and we will be tested for our work. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What is that day? That is the day of the Lord. It is the day of the Lord's return. That day shall declare it. And every man's work, yes, that is true for every believer. All of our work will be made manifest. But now here in this context, the Apostle Paul is talking about these workmen, these construction builders in the temple of God. Every one of their work will be manifest in its true worth. Not what others think about it, because remember in Corinth, there were those who were saying, "I'm of Paul, I am of Paulus, I'm of Cephas." Not what men think about the work of the pastor, but what does God think of it? What does Christ think of it? Every man's work will be revealed by fire. Not the fire of hell, but rather the fire of Christ's holiness. He who is precious, the foundation that is precious, the building that is erected upon that foundation is going to be tested by the fire of Christ's holiness. And what will we hear? Does our work measure up to the preciousness of the foundation? And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. A pastor must pray, O Lord, may my work be that of gold and silver and precious stone. The church must pray for its pastor that his work, and the elders must see to it that the pastor's work is that of gold and silver and precious stone. If any man's work abide, verse 14, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. It is a reward of grace. We deserve nothing. But it, while being a reward of grace, it is a reward based upon faithful labors. The works that survive the fire of Christ's holiness will abide and will follow us into heaven. And there we will be rewarded by our Lord Jesus. Oh, the minister and every member of the church must be eager to hear in that day, the day of our Lord, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Faithful work will receive the honor of God and the whole church. How the labors of an Augustine, how the labors of a Luther or a Calvin, how the labors of a Herman Hoeksema or an Uphoff, how they are honored by the church as foundations were laid and built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus. Those whose labors resemble wood and hay will suffer loss. Even while they abide. Yes, they were believers in Christ. They were ministers of the gospel. But they were not diligent. They were not careful. And in the day of the Lord, their works will not follow them. The Lord will not say, well done, good and faithful. Although they are saved. Our passage does teach a reward, a differentiation of rewards, degrees of reward in heaven, according to the quality of the labor. I preached a sermon at the beginning of a new relationship in a church, and now it's already 2 months into that relationship. It's good, not only beginning the work, but now while you are vacant, later on when you have a pastor, to hear God's Word. What may we expect, what should we expect of Him who was made by God a construction worker in the building of the temple of God? And the answer is diligence, carefulness, fidelity. Not only in the pulpit, but in the personal life, in the catechism room, in the visitation, in the hospitals and the homes. Building with gold and silver and precious stones upon that precious foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Is there hay at times mixed in with those precious metals? And the answer is yes. I brought up the example of Martin Luther. There is at times good exegesis on a passage in a sermon and yet poor application of the text to our lives. We can thank God that the fire of Christ's holiness burns away the less valuable or that which is worthless in our labors. We stand before Him, the builder of His church, Christ. And Christ rewards faithful labors, and He pardons our sins and our shortcomings. Pray, O church, even as you have extended the call to another young man, pray, Lord, give us a construction worker, a builder, here for Trinity, to build upon that precious foundation that's once for all been laid down. Gold, silver, precious stones, a building, the temple of God, where God is pleased to dwell. Amen. Father in heaven, over against the problems in Corinth, over against the teaching current today that one doesn't necessarily need to belong to or should belong to the church here on earth, over against at times even amongst us where there is a following of a man, we're thankful for Thy Word that describes Christian ministers as farmers in the field working together, as builders of a glorious temple whose work must be that which is diligent and careful and pleasing to Thee. Lord, we pray for this church. Give them another under-shepherd to labor here in the midst and to build upon that one foundation, that precious foundation, which is Christ Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.